Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ben's joining us earlier than usual because I want to get into the show earlier rather than later. The what's next? And we will get to what's next as Ben Standig from The Athletic joins us at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Ben's got a podcast, Last Man Standing, and he's been very busy this week because by my count, and maybe I'm off a little bit, I've got the new ads at 8, the free agents kept of their own from last year at 15. That's 23 players that have been acquired and or signed in the last few days officially. That's a busy week, wouldn't you say? Am I missing anybody?
Well, you counting the trades?
Yeah, I'm counting the trades.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, that sounds about right. It's it's been insane. I think my editor has me as well as a couple other teams. And I told him, I'm like, hey, just to be clear, like, they got 28 free agents, so they're going to be busy. He's like, yeah, okay, sure. And I think yesterday he almost, like, jumped out a window. It was like, you know, he couldn't believe, like, you gotta stop with this. This is getting out of hand. So, yeah, it's been nonstop. I mean, obviously, you know, like, yesterday was, for the most part, a lot of, you know, low-key guys that we're bringing back and, you know, things like that. But, yeah, it's been, on a pure volume level, it's been very busy.
What's been, you know, I mean, we're beyond now Tunsil and Samuel and even Kinlaw and Eddie Goldman. But what's been the biggest surprise to you? Have you been surprised by anything over the last few days?
Well, you know, like a couple small things. Like, I didn't necessarily think that, like, say, Michael Dieter would be back as the backup center because they went with Trent Scott, you know, as the guard when Tosman went out. You would have thought he would have been the guy. But I guess probably, like, the receiver room is probably the most, maybe surprised or wrong, but, you know, I kind of thought that at least, you know, two from the group of, like, Noah Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, De'Ami Brown, and Jamison Crowder would be back. Now, Crowder's still out there, so maybe that happens. But, you know, I thought there was a world where they would bring back, you know, De'Ami or Olamide Zaccheaus. Obviously, that's not happened. They both have moved on. I think there was interest, but I, you know, it seems like that now looking at that, like once they got Debo, they just sort of maybe devalued those other guys and weren't willing to go up to a certain number. You know, obviously Debo from a talent level is an upgrade over those guys, but he's also missed 8 games over the last 3 years, 2 in each, at least 2 in each of the 3 last season. So, you know, do they have sort of a De'Ami insurance out there at all? At the moment, I don't know. Maybe if they think Luke McCaffrey, we'll see what else they do. But, you know, I think prioritizing Noah Brown made sense, but I'm still kind of thought that, you know, either De'Ami or Zaccheaus would be back.
Yeah, I definitely thought Zaccheaus would be back. And I think probably they wanted him back, but maybe he just got a better deal from the Bears.
I mean, I haven't seen what the number is, and presumably that's the case. But yeah, I guess my sense is like they were just sure, but like we want you back, but only to a certain point. And
right.
You know, I can't imagine that certain point was very much. You know, I don't think the key is to getting $5 million a year or anything. So, or even necessarily X3. So, you know, I think it's back, yes, but they weren't really willing to budge. It doesn't seem like on any real level. And again, when you have Deebo Samuel now, he's going to get a lot of those snaps. So, to a degree, you can understand why they're like, hey, we're good here now. But, yeah, again, I still thought that they one of those guys would be back.
Do you think that at this point that one of the things that we've learned about the wide receiver room in particular, you know, re-signing Noah Brown and also, by the way, KJ Osborne to one-year deals, trading for Deebo, that you know, I was talking about this earlier this week, and I don't think it was with you, although it may have been with you off the air, that sometimes we forget about last year's picks and what they expect in year two. I mean, we know that they didn't mind having Luke McCaffrey on the field, snap count-wise. The production wasn't there, but maybe they viewed that as not necessarily his fault. I was talking about Jordan McGee, you know, Ben Sinnott's another guy, but specific to the receiver room, is it possible that they just have high hopes for Luke McCaffrey in year two?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably part of it. I mean, at least to say, you know, the more vets we add in front of him, then, you know, the harder to some degree it may, you know, is to potentially block him. Because, you know, once the season starts, it becomes more about winning than development. So, you know,
right.
let's give him the runway to get something done. So yeah, I think there's probably something to that. And like, you know, look, the numbers weren't there offensively, but you know, like we saw with like the kick returns, like he's got some juice out there with the ball in his hand, and it did feel like just an inch or two here or there, and he could have had some bigger numbers. But like I said, ultimately, you know, once the season started going, you know, and they, you know, saw where things, you know, that they were winning, you know, again, the development part probably took a back seat to, you know, more veteran guys. And obviously Zacchaeus and Deami and Noah Brown, you know, were all pretty solid for them. So yeah, I think there's probably something to that, that they've got higher expectations, for Luke and want to give him a shot, but we'll see who else they do. I mean, you know, is Jamison Crowder coming back? Not that he would necessarily block McCaffrey in terms of receivers, but, you know, what else are they going to do? They kind of have four guys, I would say, right now that you would put on the roster and then, you know, probably two spots open. So we'll see what else they do. But, yeah, I would imagine McCaffrey at the moment, their plan is to get him more involved or at least give him the runway for that to happen.
Tell me what you've – let's flip it to defense and corner. Tell me what you've learned about the acquisition of Jonathan Jones at 31 years old. Guy that used to really be able to run and hit.
Yeah, well, you know, from what I gather, with Jones and also Dietrich White, two guys coming from New England, that, you know, they very much fit the mold of the team additions from last year. You know, veteran guys, great locker room presence, work hard. In the case of Jones, he started at corner the last 3 years for New England. He can play a lot outside, can play in the slot, not the biggest guy at 5'9". But similar to Sanders, still, he's more than willing to put his nose in there when a runner or ball carrier is coming his way. So, you know, at the moment, it looks like, you know, between Lattimore, Jones, and Sanders, still, that feels like they're top three. But, you know, they brought back Noah Igbinoghi as well. So he obviously started a bunch last year. So they at least have some options. I still wouldn't stun me if in the draft they decided to go for a corner there. You know, I mean, look, some of these guys are signing one-year deals. You have to plan for tomorrow as well. But, you know, again, it's a solid vet. And I would say that, like, I remember last year, this is not a Monday morning quarterback thing, but when, you know, they brought in Michael Davis to sort of be the veteran in the room, you know, a new veteran in the room, I was kind of like, I don't know. This feels like they're taking a bigger chance on a guy that, you know, has been up and down. And not, again, not saying Jones is Daryl Green, but I think there's a little more consistency with his game. So, you know, they at least have some options now. They've got some depth. And I think just in general, I think this is so much of what they did in free agency. It's just to give them options so they don't have to go into the draft feeling desperate about anything. And I think for the most part, they've kind of done that.
How far away, if you know this, and if you don't, that's fine. DJ Reed said his decision came down to the Lions and Washington. How far away do you think they were on Reed? Do you know? I think he got $16 million a year by the Lions.
I remember the total number not being much more than like the Javon Kinlaw deal, which is why.
Yeah, exactly. And guaranteed it's like 32 versus 30.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, huh. I wonder, you know, did they consider going that way instead? And I think Reed came after Kinlaw, if I recall. So maybe it's not an either or. But, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how close Washington got. But, you know, it's an interesting look insight into what it was that they were trying to accomplish. And, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, yes, we know this was a down free agency year, but Reed was viewed as one of the better guys in this free agency class. And, you know, like I just said with Jones, fine player, but it's not a real difference maker necessarily at corner. And DJ Reed is considered to be, you know, a pretty good option. So not surprised ultimately to hear that they looked at him and sounded like they went hard, but to what end? I mean, if he was thinking about it to that degree, you have to imagine the money was close and he just ultimately decided, hey, I'd rather play with the Lions for whatever the reason. Like maybe he didn't watch the divisional round game. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody, maybe they threw the tape on and he was like, yeah, you guys don't need the help as much as Detroit does, which is true. Yeah, I'm actually, I think Jonathan Jones, this is just my gut, and I think it's why they're bringing Noah Igbe back. I think there are several reasons for bringing him back. But I think at this point, Jones is more, even at his size, similar to Sanra still, more of an outside than an inside corner. Do you believe that or not?
I mean, that seems to be what, you know, how New England was using. Now, I did talk to my colleague who covers the Patriots, and he was kind of saying that, you know, he thought maybe a little bit better in the slot, but New England always needed him outside. You know, to me, ultimately, the way I would look at it is, where do you want to put Sanders still and then piece it from there? So if they want to put Sanders still outside still, okay, well, you know, between Jones and Will Harris and Igbinoghi, they have options in the slot. If they want to put Sanders still in the slot, which is where he was being viewed, you know, when they drafted him, then now you have Jones on the outside to help, and you know, Igbinoghi to sort of back him up in the slot. So yeah, I mean, I think it's, to me, just tell me where Sanders still is going to be, and then I'll go from there. And that's one. That's what's interesting also about the Noah Igbe return is that clearly he didn't have like some crazy options or he would have left, because I'm sure he didn't get a ton of money. And he was good here last year, but you know, he wasn't particularly strong on the outside. So not that you can't have a backup slot, but you know, how is that going to work? Is this going to be some sort of competition and Sanders still maybe goes where they think he's needed more? Or like I said, do they put Sanders still somewhere and then work around that?
Yeah. Before we get to kind of what's next, and we'll focus on pass rusher, I was personally really thrilled that Marcus Mariota re-signed. I think he was a significant and very positive influence on Jaden, on the quarterback room, on the team in particular. He also, by the way, played pretty well when he was asked to play against Carolina and then at the end of the year and against the Cowboys. You know, I forget if we talked about this or not. I didn't think that there was a market for him to start. I was wondering if, you know, there was a spot, whether it was Tennessee or the Raiders, where he could come in and compete for a starting job. But he said a lot of nice things about coming back and about the culture of the team. You know, they paid him a little bit more than they paid him last year, 8 versus 6, I think, basically, for 1 year. How badly did they want Marcus Mariota back? I mean, I think pretty badly, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, I haven't seen the contract yet. So, yeah, the number been floated is 8, but I got to see how much that is, you know, the real salary versus, like, incentives and things like that. But, yeah, no, clearly they wanted him back. And, you know, at the end of the year, you know, Mariota is a different guy than most of the players we deal with who are, like, you know, overly cocky, confident, you know, alpha types. Not, obviously, Mariota is pretty, you know, confident in his abilities, but he's clearly more introspective than a lot of these guys. And
very.
You know, he had bounced around a bit. You know, the Atlanta thing ended poorly, And he talked about it at the end of last year, like, hey, it's pretty rare to find a fit as good as this one has been, and you don't easily walk away from that. The way I had been talking about the situation, and I think it's kind of how it played out, feels like, is that tell me where Daniel Jones ends up, because if Daniel Jones stays with Minnesota, which, you know, was possible since he was there last year, then the Colts are, they still want a quarterback to compete with Anthony Richardson. And Mariota, to me, felt like of the options left, like that you're not having Aaron Rodgers compete. You're not having, you know, Russell Wilson compete. But Mariota's a different story. So that seemed to me like a real possibility. Jones picks the Colts, and then the next day Mariota comes back here. So, you know, I think he was looking to see, you know, they all want to play. So I think he was looking to see what options there were. But, like, to go to Minnesota to be the bridge guy for J.J. McCarthy, potentially. It's the same situation here, you know, possibly, and, you know, he already likes it here. So, yeah, I think they wanted him back, and, you know, ultimately once sort of the musical chairs, you know, began it, and it was clear he didn't have, like, an obvious spot, that this made a lot of sense for both sides.
All right. All due respect to the Seymours and the Scotts and the Dieters and the McNichols of the world. By the way, I was happy to see them re-sign Nick Ballore. He was an outstanding special teamer, and they lost Michael Walker, who played pretty well on teams as well. And they had a very, very good overall. I mean, I think DVOA, they were a top 10 special teams team. Now, that was mostly all about their coverage, not necessarily returns or, you know, field goals, etc. But their coverage units were great, and Ballore was a big part of that. So, you know, DJ Reed, no. Khalil Mack, no. Ronnie Stanley, no. What about Trey Hendrickson? Still out there? Reports are still that Cincinnati's asking price is too high. Washington, I believe, and I think you believe, is certainly a team interested. So tell everybody what you believe to be the current situation with Trey Hendrickson and Washington's potential interest level.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, so you know, in terms of Cincinnati side of things, you know, we know that the Bengals gave Trey Hendrickson permission to seek a trade, and obviously for the player's perspective, it's not just where would he play; he wants to get paid, and be obviously one of the highest paid defensive players in the league, and coming off a year where you lead the league in sacks seems reasonable. He is, 30, 31. He's in that range. That's going to have people a little bit scared in terms of compensation, in terms of both the draft picks and the money. But, okay, I think on the money side, I think it seems to me that the Hendrickson team has found a good level, whatever that may be. The question is, what are the Bengals going to do? And the Bengals are a very weird organization relative to the rest of the league. They're a mom-and-pop shop working in a league with, crazy billionaires and such. So they don't operate, and obviously they're very old school, so they don't operate the way so many other teams do. They've been considered to be, one of the cheaper franchises, things like that. And they also don't make tons of trades. So at the moment, it's hard to read how serious the Bengals are in terms of trading him. I mean, Hendrickson still has 1 year left on his deal. I don't get the sense that they've offered him something that's remotely in the ballpark of what Hendrickson would be looking for. Other teams have been checked in at the asking price from the Bengals, which is, from what I can tell, at least a first, and possibly more, but at least a first, is a, teams are balking at that again because you're going to have to pay him, $30-ish million a year. In terms of now to Washington, you and I had a fun conversation the other day about, what is Washington sort of all in, or are they just trying to catch up with from an overall talent perspective? And, I remain on that side of things. However, if they make a deal for Trey Hendrickson, at this point they don't have, we know they only have five picks in each of the next 2 years, not just this year, but next year too. Hendrickson would be a huge addition. And frankly, when you look at all the moves that they have made so far, the core pieces for any NFL team would be a quarterback, a left tackle, a cornerback, some type of offensive playmaker, and a defensive end / pass rusher. Well, all the other positions they now have. I mean, Lattimore, whether we'll see how he plays this year, but in terms of, he's been an elite corner. He's getting paid like he is. So they've kind of addressed all those areas but one, and that is the defensive end. And, the guys that they've brought in so far, none of them would preclude Washington from making a significant addition, whether it's Hendrickson or drafting one in the first round. So it feels, and also like the money has slowed up dramatically, right? They basically have not been signing. Like if you look at their free agency, they really haven't done much at all in terms of like splashy moves that would correlate to some sort of all in notion. But it feels like that they're kind of waiting.
You got to just get off that. You just got to get off that. Stop.
Well,
they paid Javon Kinlaw $30 million guaranteed. They've traded 8 draft picks, all right, for 3 players going back to the trade deadline. I don't want to do this with you again. It's fine.
No, we're not.
You don't think that all in is different from win now. Win now mode is absolutely what they're in. All in, you got to have things to go all in on. It's not a great free agency class. The fact that they traded for Laremy Tunsil, Marshawn Lattimore, had big interest in DJ Reed, Ronnie Stanley, and now Trey Hendrickson is a win-now mentality. whether they're able to manifest it in the form of actual additions or not. They're in a win now mode.
Well, I mean,
all in's different from win now.
Who would argue that they weren't? They just made the NFC Championship game. They weren't about to go.
You've sort of been arguing against that.
No. If they don't make the Tunsil trade, tell me how they improve at left tackle. They would go backwards. They don't have enough if they just brought this band back. Anyway,
right.
My point is that in free agency, other than Kinlaw, they've given nobody any money. So the idea
is they've tried, though.
Oh, but they didn't. I mean,
but it doesn't matter. I'm talking about intent. Let's move on. You and I did this the other day. It's fine. I love you dearly. It's semantics. We'll just chalk it up to that. Trey Hendrickson.
I'm making the point about Trey Hendrickson. What I'm saying is the Patriots have spent crazy money in free agency. They have the same type of quarterback as Jaden, and nobody is going. They're going for it. It isn't just about the spend. It's about looking at what the team is about. They've been very deliberate here as to what they are attempting to do. They didn't just go out and sign some other defensive end for good money, at least to this point, right? And there's not much left out there. So it seems like they're being patient.
I mean, they were interested in Khalil Mack. You agree with that, right?
Yes, but they didn't get him. I mean,
I understand that.
But
you can't guarantee an outcome. I'm talking about the mindset.
Well, we can talk about this later because it's semantics.
Are they in the mix for Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying here. If you look at what they've actually done, rather than everybody just saying they're all in despite the board not really looking that way, they have spent no money in free agency relative to a team that everybody is saying is all in or win now or whatever. They got one guy. I understand Tunsil was a trade. But again, they had to do that. If you wanted to upgrade, there was nothing else to do.
And they're going to have to pay Tunsil, him too.
Sure. So if they had signed Tunsil to that deal, people are freaking out because they traded the picks, not because of the money. Again, if it was the money, nobody's going to Bears and the Patriots anyway. So with Hendrickson, it feels like they have been very patient. The salary cap space has come down a fair amount. They're now more middle of the pack. This thing is a moving number, but last time I saw over the cap was like $32 million, and obviously they can, manipulate it to move, to put money in different years and things like that. So it feels to me like they are waiting for something. Now, that something could very well just be the draft and knowing that this is a good defensive line class and go there. But until Hendrickson is dealt with, I think they're waiting to see. I think the other point that is potentially in Washington's favor is you got to look and see who else are they competing against.
Right.
Now, because Hendrickson, at the age he's at, look, I'm sure he wants to get paid. As Myles Garrett showed, money is the ultimate decision maker, right? He said he wanted out of Cleveland. They made him the highest paid non-quarterback, and he's like, cool, I'm in. Even though, that we don't know where that team doesn't have a quarterback or anything. So I'm sure Hendrickson wants to play for a contender, but who's going to pay him? But who else is all in on him? And that's the part that I think is also interesting here. Is like, I mean, I don't know for sure, but New England's been trying to get everybody. I'm sure that they would probably be in the mix for him. But where is New England as a team? They're coming off a pretty dismal year, a lot of turnover. Who knows? So I think the answer is ultimately Washington is just being patient and waiting. That's why, again, they've papered over many of their holes, including defensive end, to bring in guys like Wise, this Jacob Martin guy who was with the Bears last year, a journeyman, but, he can help you with the pass rush a little bit, things like that, to wait and see what happens. So I think I think they're paying attention closely, but again, it's really up to the Bengals. Do they really want to trade Hendrickson? Are they going to eventually step up and pay him? Are they going to lower their asking price? And because the Bengals are the Bengals, it's a very hard read.
I hear you on
and
that.
I think it's different. Yeah.
Let me throw this out to you. All right. Washington has to give up their second rounder and the fourth rounder that they got back from Houston in the Tunsil deal. And then, by the way, they've got to pay him probably $30 million a year, right? That's probably what we're looking at. is a deal. It's not going to be the Max Crosby deal. It's not going to be the Myles Garrett deal, whatever the AAV on that is. But it's going to be in the neighborhood of $30 million a year. Agreed? Because he's at 18 right now.
So yeah, I mean, that would seem to be the point, yes.
He's at 21 now. My fault. 21 right now. So for us, if Cincinnati, and you're right, weird organization, hard to predict anything that they'll do. But if he's legitimately available and they lower their asking price, because right now the price has been described by multiple reports as ridiculously high for teams like Washington and other teams that have been sniffing around. If it came down to a second and a fourth and you had to pay him, you know, a four-year deal, age 30 to 34, at roughly $30 million a year, do you think they would do it? Do you think they should do it?
You know, look, the latter part to me is like, okay, now that you have no draft picks, I mean, I guess you would still have a first in this kid's scenario, but like now you've gutted your entire class and you, next year you're already down to five. So this would definitely be a much harder pivot to this notion of being uber aggressive to get this done. I'm not saying that they wouldn't, but you know, they're going to have to decide, do they think that this is, they are essentially this one player away. And the defense right now, just broadly in terms of what they've done in free agency, I don't think they've necessarily improved. Like the offense, I can say between Debo and Laremy Tunsil, on paper, they've improved, right? They've addressed.
I'm hoping they improved at corner, but you're right. There's nothing I mean, Will Harris, you know, Jeremy Chin could be a complete wash. Kinlaw is obviously the head scratcher in terms of the contract. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Lattimore played.
Bringing
like
Wagner
Bogart,
back was a big deal.
Sure, I don't think that was ever really in doubt. So, I mean, you know, off of the team they had last year, I don't know if Saquon Barkley is going to all of a sudden stop getting 100-yard games, right? So, against them. So, but does Trey Hendrickson change the game that much? If they think the answer is yes, then I guess they make the deal, would be my gut. Would I do it? I don't know, man. You know, you know, I'm of two minds of it. I think, you know, if you look at the age of the guys that they've brought back, this team's not getting younger. They were already like, they were the oldest team in the playoffs last year. They were like the sixth or seventh youngest or oldest team in the league overall. And almost everybody they're bringing in so far has been around 30 or older. So at some point you have to add.
Kind of screams like guys. They feel like they better do it soon.
Do what soon?
Win.
Well, I mean, again, they did the same thing last year, and they weren't trying to win last year per se. But you know, I understand
the one-year deal portion of it. Yes.
No. Look, the one-year deals. I mean, that's you're going to get veteran guys.
This might be our new normal. Have you thought about that?
When the music stops here, I'll be curious to sort of look around in the league and see how many teams are sort of in this same boat. But yeah, for them, this is, you know, clearly 2 years in a row of this. And you know, if you're trying to spend money on younger guys, then it's going to cost you 3 and 4 years and more money, because obviously there's a lot more upside and potential, and the older guys, you can get them, you know, on the cheaper, and that's kind of what they've done. So I don't necessarily think it necessarily means like win now. It means here's the market, we're not willing to do much more than this, so who's out there, and that's what they're looking at.
I would imagine, I mean, for me, a first, a first in next year's third, because they don't have next year's second. That's too much, and then to pay him at $30 million a year. But I don't think Dante Fowler Jr. is coming back, do you?
No, not at this point. I mean, you know, again, it's not that the defensive end room is necessarily set, but they have enough other pieces to suggest that he's not coming back. Cleveland Farrell not coming back. You know, I mean, whoever they have as a free agent right now, almost of their own, almost all those spots have now been absorbed. Like, I can see Crowder coming back. They still need more receivers, and I don't know who's returning punts. But, like, beyond that, I mean, honestly, if you look at their roster right now, you could put together the 53 almost right now minus the draft picks and probably be fairly close to accurate, it would feel. You know, obviously there's always the injuries and random surprises, but, you know, it's kind of set. I mean, the tight end room is the same. The running back room looks like the same. The linebacker room mostly is the same.
Right.
Other than Tunsil, the offensive line is the same. So much of this is already, it feels like, kind of set. Of course, there'll be competition. But So anybody who's still a free agent, I think, is probably done here.
I got to go. I blew up my entire clock management ability here in the first hour. This was great. I appreciate it. Denton and I are going to continue the conversation about Trey Hendrickson, because I think there's some real to it in terms of Washington's interest. And I think Ben would admit that there's some interest there as well. Cincinnati's a weird team to deal with, and the price will matter. Thanks, as always. Enjoy the hoops this weekend.
Will do, man. Appreciate it. See you.
I will talk to you. Ben Standing, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.